Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
That music means we welcome the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer to the program. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine. Eric, in my inbox, I suppose I need to congratulate you. Congratulations. You have been announced as the Memphis Grizzlies play-by-play announcer this season. All the games you can hear right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. So congratulations, Eric.
I appreciate that. But, yeah, it's nice to see that every year, and it brings back a lot of memories. You know, it's hard to believe that this is going to be season number 25. And, you know, I was thinking about it when I read it this morning, too, of – you know, I remember game one in the was playing with the Pistons, and the optimism was super high because the Grizzlies, their first four home preseason games, that's when we played an eight-game schedule, they tried to win. They tried to keep their starters out there and get people excited about the upcoming year, and that's where we got the infamous Don Poyer call of only in Memphis. If I'm not mistaken, it was a game against the Sonics, and the Grizzlies were losing and made this incredible comeback. And Jason Williams hits this ridiculously hard fadeaway three in the right corner. And, you know, we were just having fun with it. But, you know, there's a lot of memories. I remember pulling into the Pyramid for the first open practice. It was my first day in Memphis in 2001. I remember the meeting that we had at the original flagship with the first time I met Don and Sean Tuohy, and that was going to be our crew. And then getting to know Matt Devlin, who's now with the Raptors, and Hersey Hawkins, who's since gone on to front office jobs and now is retired. And, you know, thinking about all the nights and games and road trips and friendships, more importantly, along the way, it's pretty cool. I feel very, very blessed to have that opportunity, and I really realized the magnitude of it when we were at broadcast meetings a couple of weeks ago and realized that, well, there's not many more guys that have been with their team longer than, you know, myself and Pete. And there's not many duos that have been there longer with their respective teams together, radio and TV, as we have. And that's, to me, that's pretty special.
Yeah, the longevity that you mentioned is so incredible. It's one of the coolest things about the Grizzlies organization is the continuity you have with Pete and Brevin and Fish. And then you get in the car or you're not at your TV and you pull up the audio stream and it's Eric Hasseltine, who you've heard on the airwaves for, you know, basically a quarter century. Because, man, Eric, like, sometimes my parents made me go to bed and I would turn on the radio in my bedroom and I would listen to you back when you were doing pre and post. And so, yeah. Like, you talk about the impact and everything that, you know, this time being the play-by-play voice has meant to you. But, like, for me, it goes back to when you were pre and post. And because those were, like, the formative years of me becoming a sports fan and becoming a Grizzlies fan. And so the impact you've had on the listeners and will continue to have, I think, is a really special thing.
It was fun, Cobb. Those were good times. And, you know, that first 50-win year – I'm not going to say it was easy. It was fun, but it was a really hard schedule because at the time I was hosting a morning show on the original flagship. And so I would go with the station van down to the Pyramid at about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock every day, get ready, you know, have dinner, do the interviews, do the process. And then, you know, call the game. I was also doing television sideline stuff, so I was doing both. Then after the game, I would do my post-game show stuff, my television stuff, and then we would go, and sometimes we had to do it in a room because they were changing over the court. We would do the call-in show from the arena, and our belief was if people are still calling, we'll keep taking them. There were nights we didn't get out of there until midnight. Well, then we had to drive all the way back out to East Memphis. I was living in Collierville, get home, get a nap, and turn around and be back at the station by 5 o'clock in the morning. So there were some days where I didn't sleep, was not part of the plan, but, you know, those are also, like you said, those were formative years. They were formative years for me. During that time, people always ask, how do you, you know, people ask me, how does my son get this? How do they do this? You got to be willing to do those things and then figure out other ways to get experience. I used to hire one of the engineers that was at 92.9 when I got there as well, named Skip Reynolds, and he would set up a mini disc recorder, and I would call the game from the baseline. The Grizzlies were kind enough to let me do that. They gave me a space where I wasn't going to be bothered, and I got to call NBA games. So that year before Don passed away, when he needed to miss 2 games for his daughter's college graduation, they had heard the tapes I was working on. They said, "We can just slide you right over. We're good." So, you know, it was fun, and the post game shows were fun. And I remember telling people a lot of times, because it was not exactly the best basketball to watch, and that 50 win team with Hubie was special. And, you know, seeing Hubie and watching him retire at the end of last year, and knowing what he's gone through, both basketball-wise and personal-wise, these last couple of years. I mean, he lost his son. He lost Brendan Brown, passed away, and that stung. And I know how close Hubie was to him. That's tough. But he was still able to be the best of the best. But before that, we had to remind people, hey, this is really new. This is really new. You really don't become a bona fide NBA city at least for about 10 or 11 years. Now, you can come out to the games and you can think we're an NBA city, but you got to see the ups and downs. You got to see a good team make runs. I mean, Oklahoma City was spoiled when the Sonics moved there because their roster was just loaded. And their first year, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were just stacked, and everybody knew they were going to be good. The Grizzlies knew they were going to be good. And then they had the run with that group that included James Harden before he was traded, Westbrook, Durant, Ibaka. But after that, they weren't very good, and that was what their final step of their growth process was. And now, obviously, they're world champions. But, you know, we've seen a lot of things, and it got to a point where I was trying to remind people during the core four times that, hey, this group is not the norm. I know it kind of feels like that right now because every year they're going to the playoffs. 7 years in a row, and you'd get the detractors, yeah, but 7 years and they've only done, you know, they've only gone to the Western Conference Finals. They haven't won a championship. And I'm like, you know, it's not, championships are not on the, you know, aisle 3 at Walmart on the middle rack. They're hard to find. They're really hard to find, and they're really hard to accomplish. Even Western Conference Finals, I mean, the West has been a gauntlet for the last 15, 20 years. So it was a special time, and there was that connection to the team and the team to the city, and that was kind of the big step forward. Now the next step is for this group to continue to keep that that feeling of this is ours. This is ours with the city. And so, man, you know, thinking about pre-half and post, you get me a monologue in there, Cobb. It was a good time, and I was very, very lucky. Because I had the goal in mind of a certain age. That's what I wanted to try to do. I had to leave where I was in Sacramento to make that happen. And it came a handful of years earlier than I had, you know, set the goal for. And then that kind of set the whole thing in motion.
Well, no, it's funny that Cobb mentioned that. I had the same thing. I had a radio that, because, you know, back when, you know, hey, it's your school night, you're supposed to go to bed. No, I was listening to the radio and listening to those calls as well. I think the other thing that I was thinking about when you go through that is 2011 the actual best shot the Grizzlies had at a title? Because if you think about it, they take the Thunder to 7, and what, there was the, was it triple overtime? What was the home game? Was it
triple? Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, where Gravis Vasquez hit the ridiculous shot.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but like they matched up pretty well with the Mavs the next series. It was like if they could get by the Thunder, and then the Heat were still in that, like, not quite fully formed. LeBron was trying to do the weird villain thing for a while. Like, I almost wonder, like, in hindsight, if that was actually the best shot.
Yeah, I would go there, or I would go the 2014 team that lost to the Warriors.
15, you mean? Because 14 was the Clippers, the Mother's Day Game 7, which I flew home. I remember, flying home for that. Like, hey, Mom, I'm going to the game.
I never will forget that, on that day. And by the way, on the note you said about listening, I ran into Connor when he was working at Academy Sports. I was taking my son, I think, to get his first Little League bat.
Oh, yeah.
And Connor's like, hey, I want to do what you do one day. And I was like, that's great. This is what you got to do. Now Connor's, Connor was my producer, and now he's Gabe's producer and is doing great things. So it's cool to hear that. And, it's wild. I joke and tell people it makes you feel old. It doesn't. It makes me proud that guys that loved the game and loved sports and went on to you guys both, Connor, very successful sports media careers, grew up listening, and because I did the same thing. And so that makes me feel really good that helped. But I think that, the 2011 one was tough because you felt like it was close, and you just didn't have the bucket getter like Kevin Durant, and that was the thing. I thought the 2014 loss to the Clippers, it's hard to say what would have happened, but you blew a big lead, and then Game 7, that was just from the ultimate of highs before the game to, it just ended. And that's part of learning how to be an NBA fan. You have to accept those days where the city is just absolutely electric, and 3 hours later, it's like, it's done, and we lost, and we're not supposed to lose Game 7 at home. We're supposed to be celebrating right now on Beale Street, and we're not. And then 16... you knew you were going to get by the Blazers because Wes Matthews was one of the big thorns in the side during the regular season. Lillard was good, but you could throw Tony Allen on Lillard and shape that up. And C.J. McCollum had not become C.J. McCollum. Matthews ruptures his Achilles, and you're like, even the Blazers knew it. There at the time, radio announcer who passed away last year, Brian Wheeler, came and said, and I laughed because I never think you have no chance, but I almost agree with him. He goes, we have no chance in this series to beat you guys. None. And I was like, Wheels, we got to play the game. Come on, man.
I'm still pissed we didn't sweep them.
Yeah, they were really mad. I've never seen a team really angry that they won a game.
That they had to travel again.
Exactly. Their analyst was a guy named Antonio Harvey. And because he looks at me, I was like, all right, cool. See you guys for dinner tomorrow night. And he's like, man, I love you, but I am not happy that we are going to fly across the country to get our ass kicked and just come back home. Why didn't we just do it tonight? I got things I got to do. So, I know people still go back to that. I don't think C.J. McCollum did anything dirty or intentional. He just caught Mike. And Mike has a broken face. Tony has a pulled hamstring. The Warriors just schemed it up because they knew Mike wasn't 100%. And I don't care what anybody says, and however many times Draymond Green denies it. Draymond Green, when he came down, it looked to me like made it a point to make sure he caught it, like put some pressure on Mike's face on a ball on the floor once. And he tried to deny it because that was when the fans went bananas. And I'm sure for Mike, it probably really, really affected him during that moment and probably the next couple days. But I think if that team had been healthy, I don't know that they would have won it. I think that might have been their best chance. And maybe it is that you were just really, really, really good. You just weren't quite good enough. We've seen that with a ton of teams, a ton of big-time players that never won titles. But, when you had a Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and that group, that's hard to get by. It's really hard to get by. So, but 2011 was special. The year I thought they got really screwed was the third year of the playoff run with Fratello. I would have loved to have seen, and nothing against Coach Fratello, he did fine, but I would have loved to have seen if Hubie could have stayed another year or two. But the problem with his system was what made it successful was what also always undid the locker room. You had guys back then that you needed to play 38 minutes to get paid. That's why I always tell people Hubie Brown was 25 years ahead of his time. He was pacing, spacing, load managing without sitting guys out, using the three as a weapon, and teams didn't know how to stop it. But if you could have taken that team that ended up having to play the Mavericks in the first round, that had the fourth best record in the league in the West that year, would have hosted the first round against the Clipper team that had no playoff experience, and then you move on to play a Spurs team that year they gave them fits, that would have been fun to see. I don't know if they would have beaten the Mavericks that year because the Mavericks ended up catching fire, but that was a really good group too.
Eric, we appreciate it, my man. Congratulations on year number 25.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's search and inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.